The discussion about Ziyat al-Waritha and Aba Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam and that connection between the two is a very beautiful one and one that's very relevant in today's day and age. First of all, the discussion on inheritance itself, we talk about the idea that Imam Husayn is the inheritor of all the prophets. We're referring to a spiritual inheritance, one that is ma'navi in character, one that talks about the ilm and the maqam and the level and the taqwa of the prophets. And what's beautiful about this ziyat is that it encompasses those five prophets that are known as the ulul adam, or the chosen prophets, or the higher class prophets, and their associating qualities. The prophets equally have their own specific set of perfection, be it Prophet Adam and his chosen capability, be it the idea that Nabi Ibrahim is the Khalil of Allah, or that Nabi Isa is the Ruh of Allah, or that Nabi Musa is the Kalim of Allah. All these things are specific to that prophet. Point number one is the idea that when we talk about Aba Abdullah al-Husayn inheriting the qualities of the prophet, they are the five great prophets and they are remembered by their perfect qualities. Again, not only is it a reflection of the fact that these prophets are great individuals, but the inheritor of those prophets equally have to be a great individual. Imam Husayn is no different. Imam Husayn is not only inheriting a name of the prophets, he is the encompassing perfect qualities of every prophet that existed before him. Point number two, when talks about the inheritance of his father, it's a very important point here. In every other mention of the prophets before that line, when we talk about Amir al-Mu'mineen, they use the prophet by name, Nabi Adam, Nabi Nuh, Nabi Ibrahim. But right after they refer to the Prophet of Allah as the Habib of Allah, they don't use Ali as his name. They send salam to the laqab of Amir al-Mu'mineen, which is not the same as the name, as we know. The laqab is one, the name is a different one. But here we're saying that it's not this idea that Imam Husayn is the son of Imam Ali, so naturally he's the inheritor. Here it's not the idea that he's inheriting from his father. He's inheriting whatever Amir al-Mu'mineen had in his life. There's a big difference there now. Now what does that encompass? When we say Amir al-Mu'mineen, it encompasses every antithetical quality of Amir al-Mu'mineen. The beauty of the insan, the ajib creation of the insan, the fact that the insan is such a strange and wonderful creation, is that in one existence, in one creation, you have antithetical qualities that are contradicting each other. On one side you have Imam Ali, Amir al-Mu'mineen, in the battlefield, in front of the enemy, he spared nobody. He destroyed them all, one by one. You are an enemy of Allah, enemy of mine. I don't spare you. Yes, after multiple chances to give the enemy to either accept Islam or walk away or not fight me, when you're actually ready to fight me, then at that moment, I spare nobody. That same heart that is able to kill a man in the battlefield is the same heart that softens at 3 o'clock in the morning on the musalla, crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like an infant cries for the milk of his mother. This antithetical nature of Amir al-Mu'mineen was amazing. After a while, when you become the commander of the army like he was for Rasulullah, when you are involved in so many wars, when you see blood the way that Ali saw, when you see a man dying in front of you the way Ali saw, naturally the heart hardens. Sometimes it blackens. And this idea of it again softening is very difficult. But we see sometimes in the span of 24 hours, he fluctuates from the hardening of the heart with the enemy of Allah to the softening of the heart in front of his master. This was incredible. This was not seen in anybody else. So we talk about the inheritance of Imam Husayn towards his father. It's not a simple father-son relationship. It is Imam Husayn inheriting the encompassing qualities of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Not just his father, Amir al-Mu'mineen. You know, Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, in the courtyard of Yazid, when he gave his famous khutbah in his sermon, he started off by introducing who the Ahlul Bayt were. He uses six qualities to introduce the Ahlul Bayt. So of all those qualities that Imam Sajjad could have used, he used these six, and one of them was Shaja'at. We are Shaji, we are courageous individuals. What is courage? Because now what we see on the day of Ashura, on the plains of Karbala, we see that that courage is not the ability to destroy an enemy. Courage in Islam is to do what that zamana, what that era, what that time is asking you to do for the deen of Islam, albeit against your own nafs and desire. Amir al-Mu'mineen fought in every single war in the Holy Prophet's life except for one. He did not take out his Zulfiqar, his sword, until his own Khilafat had three civil wars in it. 23, 25 years, those 2 decades of quote-unquote silence of Amir al-Mu'mineen, he didn't once pull out his Zulfiqar. And yet we can say that that was the most courageous time of Amir al-Mu'mineen's life. We think that courage and bravery is a man who pulls out a sword, begins to fight, and is courageous. We equate courage to brute strength, to physical ability. The Ahlul Bayt taught us no. It's not physical ability. It's the ability for you to capture your desire and your nafs, to make yourself the master over your nafs and desire. Your desire is telling you that's your khilafat, that's your government. Ghadir was your day. 70 days after Ghadir, Saqifa happens. And the whole world forgets about what happened in Ghadir. Imam Ali would have been justified had he physically fought for his khilafat, but he didn't. He was quiet, as they say. Those 23 years was, in my opinion, the most painful years of Imam Ali's life. And yet, we believe that that was the epitome of his bravery and courage. Khaybar is there, Ahzab is there, Badr al-Uhud is there, Siffin is there, Nahrawan is there, all these wars are there. But that's not his courage. His courage was the fact that the deen of Islam required him to be patient, to keep the sword inside of him, to understand that right now the deen of Islam, after the Holy Prophet, is an infant. If you pull out the sword and create a civil war, it will destroy it at its very nature. And the enemies like Rome and like Iran during those days were waiting for that to happen. And he realized that. That's why we have a beautiful line in Najaf when we go, inshallah, As-salamu alaykum ya asbar al-sabirin. Of all the ones that are patient, Ali, you are the most patient one. That courage we saw in Aba Abdullah al-Hussein on the day of Ashura as well. Abu Fazl al-Abbas was a giant of a man. He was chosen for the day of Ashura. And here is a man who comes to Imam Hussein and saying, I cannot take the sound of Al-Atash in my ears of the children, nor can I see your dry lips on your face. Give me permission to go get some water, go fight for you. Imam Hussein says, we are not here to fight. If I was given a moment of permission from Allah, this war would be over. And yet we see that at that moment, what was more important than fighting and shedding blood was the exposing of the oppression of the Yazid of the time. And if that requires Imam Hussein to give his blood and those of his family and his companions, then so be it. That's what Ayatollah Bahtar Rahmatullah Alayh says, that what Imam Hussein did on the day of Ashura was literally changed the definition of who victorious is. He says it was the only war where the blood defeated the sword of the enemy. Now when we come to today's day and age, in this era we live in, a very difficult time for the Ummah, where now it seems like there is a targeted group against those of the Ahlul Bayt. What is our duty? What is our role? And we often say that just like back then, there were 3 characteristics and 3 different missions. One was Yazidi in nature, one was Husseini in nature, one was Zainabi in nature. Yazidi was oppression, injustice. Unfortunately, injustice has to exist for this mission to reach its perfection. Husseini was that a mission where the blood is given, the actual fight is fought, the actual front lines are there, and Zainabi is the war of information, the war of exposure, the war of awareness, the war of insight, the war of basira and agahi, to be able to perhaps not pick up your sword, but pick up your intellect. Perhaps not pick up the sword, but make your voice heard. It's important that we in this day and age don't forget the fact that courage back then had nothing to do with physical brute or strength. Back then, courage was to do what the deen of Islam requires you to do today, equally as well. We have to be courageous as well in doing what the Deen of Islam is asking us to do today. And part of that is, number one, is to work on our own spirituality, build our piety, become at least 1% of the Ansar of Imam Zamana. And in doing so, part of the process is to expose the tyrant and the oppression of the time today. Imam Hussein didn't destroy Yazidiyat back then. He exposed it. But what Imam Hussein began on the day of Ashura, the Imam of our time will finish, inshallah, when he comes. From Ashur to Zuhur. It's an entire mission encompassing the mission of the Ahlul Bayt. We have a grand opportunity right now to complete the mission of Imam Hussein. We say what? فَيَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ مَعَكُمْ فَأَفُوزَ مَعَكُمْ. If only we were there, Imam Abdullah. If we were there, Abu Abdullah, we would also give our life and we would also gain success on the day of Ashura. Who said Ashura is done? The war of Karbala continues today. Yes, the characters have changed. The people have changed. But that war of haq and batil, of justice and injustice, is very much alive today. Identify the Yazid of your time today and help the Hussein of your time today as well. If that requires you to take on a Husseini approach, then so be it. If that requires us in the West to be a Zainabi approach, where we are exposing and unmasking the oppressor of the time, then that is our mission, and that is our courage.